Well, sir, it's early evening as our scene opens now. And here in the living room of the small house halfway up in the next block, we find Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook and their son, Mr. Rush Gook. For the last half hour, our friends have been occupied with sections of the newspaper. But a moment ago, Sade thought of something interesting to relate. Listen.
We know Mr. and Mrs. Donahue went to the moving picture show last night because we saw them leave. And what time was that about?
Oh, 7:15.
At 8 o'clock. And that's correct because the courthouse clock was striking. Miss Harris happened to glance out her living room window, and there was Donahue's attic light burning away like a racehorse.
Donahue's attic again, huh?
No, but listen.
I bet Donahue's leave that attic light on just to bother inquisitive neighbors.
That attic light was swinging.
Swinging?
Swinging back and forth.
By George, Mom, if this deep mystery keeps on going, pretty
quickly...
The
other stuff we heard about Donahue's attic did sound more or less flimsy and imaginary. I laughed at it myself. But here's Miss Harris with a story that makes a person prick up their ears and pay attention. Miss Harris don't tell fibs, and she's not a hysterical woman, and she's not...
Somebody in the kitchen.
What?
I heard the kitchen door open.
Where?
Great guns.
Good evening, lady.
Oh, for mercy's sake. Mighty, mighty, mighty cute. My living
room, my lady.
Yes, Uncle Fletcher. I don't consider it so terrible smart to try to scare a person out of their wits.
I apologize. Yeah,
so do I.
I know two wise guys I bet I get even with.
I have Bly 26 for with me, Sadie, honey.
Good evening, LaFall.
Good evening, Mr. 26.
Hello, Dwight. Hello, Uncle Fletcher.
You're looking first rate, Vic, honey. You on deck also, are they, Russ?
Yep.
And I worry a lot more, but I see.
Dwight's got his mouth full of shingle nails.
Yeah, you always have my mouth full of shingle nails. It's a hammer of color measure. I don't feel it when I'm on my mouth full of shingle nails.
I can translate everything Mr. 26er says.
So can I.
I got the knack of understanding Dwight whether his mouth is full of shingle nails or not.
Well, what did he say just then?
Yes.
What did Dwight just say then, say?
He said, I generally always have my mouth full of shingle nails.
It's a habit I've cultivated.
I don't feel natural
without my mouth full of shingle nails.
Fine. That's exactly what I said.
Fine. That's exactly what I said.
You're catching on too, Gus.
Anything that requires mentality is duck soup for me.
Vic, Sade, Rushy, honey, I'll tell you why I and Dwight stopped past.
All right.
We are sleeping tonight in the courthouse yard. Well, I'm going to put us a pink newspaper about it.
I didn't catch that.
Neither
did I. And from the newspaper reporter is going to write up an article about us sleeping in the courthouse room.
I'll tell this, Blake.
Oh, of course it's that.
You describe garbage as well as the next party, but with your mouth full of shingle nails, you sound kind of slushy and vague. Your auditors run the risk of misunderstanding the different sights you say.
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
I and Dwight, Vex, Sade, and Rushy, honey, are sleeping tonight in the courthouse yard.
No.
But he's not fooling, ma'am. That's the truth.
You're not going to do any such a thing, Uncle Fletcher.
My married daughter and tell them I'm sleeping for a while. Listen to what they are.
Excuse me, Mr. 26er. Uncle Fletcher, what do you mean you're going to sleep in the courthouse yard?
Exactly that. You appreciate the different one sleeps in the courthouse yard?
They don't do it in the wintertime. They don't do it on the 23rd day of November.
Sweet Corn McBlock sleeps in the courthouse yard. Michigan Fishigan from Michigan, Michigan sleeps in the courthouse yard. Roy Delfino, B.B. Ball, Hank Gutstop, Felton and Bleeding, his imaginary brother, Y.I.I.I.B.I. Skeever, all the different ones sleeps in the courthouse yard.
That's one red-hot outfit you're naming off.
Just how do you mean, Sadie, honey?
Not one of those ginks is worth the dynamite to blow his hat off.
I have been laboring under a misapprehension, I guess, Sadie, honey. I was under the impression you loved and respected Sweet Corn McBlock.
Oh, boy, I love and respect him till I can't hardly stand it.
It had been my partly veiled notion that you held Pelter Unbleat and his imaginary brother in the highest esteem.
I'm crazy about them both.
It is apparent that a man must occasionally alter his ideas.
I bet you altered his sleeping outdoors idea.
Yes.
People, people were growing quite sharp and frosty.
Yeah,
let's avoid our hot cigarettes, Fletcher. Perhaps you and yourself, if you might endanger yourself a trip outdoors.
What, right?
I say, maybe your niece, Fletcher, you might catch cold by keeping out the quarter guard. He might...
Thunder, Dwight, what are you talking about?
I got my mouth full of people, Bill.
Sound like you got your mouth full of celery and sewing machine oil.
I do.
No, Sadie, honey, here's a story on it. Ernie Pompell, now he's the reporter downtown. He wants I and Dwight to sleep in the courthouse yard tonight because it'll make an interesting article for his Nicholas newspaper.
Is he, Mrs. Cook? A cool late in the year. It's unusual for
someone. I'll have a list, Dwight.
Oh, yes. Oh, sorry.
Aren't you afraid you'll swallow some of those shingle nails?
No.
I'd be afraid.
I'm not afraid of nothing.
What? I'm not afraid of nothing.
Oh. We're quite through with our conversation, Arthur?
Oh, I beg your pardon, Tucker.
I beg your pardon, Fletcher.
Yeah, that's easy.
No, Sadie, honey, the thing on it is the sweet corn McBlock and Roy Delfino and Pelter Unbleed and his imaginary brother and the different one sleeps in the courthouse yard during the summertime, but they quit around the 1st of October. Here it is late in November. Night news of a couple of half-wits sleeps in the courthouse yard late in November.
Half-wits is right.
Ernie Pompell suggested this plan to I and Dwight, and we're going to go ahead with it, and tomorrow morning there'll be a piece in the paper covering the story and photographs and everything else.
I hope my article will appear in the first page, okay?
Yes, the article might even appear on the first page, Ernie said.
Did you tell your landlady your dandy plan?
What in thunder has my landlady got to do with it?
Plenty. Why, I bet she'd call the police if you...
Lady, honey, I find this difficult to believe. But the suspicion is gradually crawling up my spine that you are laboring under the impression that I and Dwight stopped past to obtain your permission to sleep in the courthouse yard.
That same suspicion is gradually crawling up my spine also.
You think I stopped past to obtain your permission to embark on this venture?
Yes.
Sadie, honey, you are mistaken.
Hey, old pals, break it up.
Yeah, we don't want our fingers burned up.
Sadie, honey, I'll reveal the true reason I and Dwight stopped past.
Uncle Fletcher, honey, let's quit this bickering. Not like you and me to raise our voices at each other.
That's a circle.
Sadie, honey, I and Dwight stopped past to recruit Vic and Rush.
To do what?
Recruit Vic and Rush.
Recruit them to do what?
Sleep in the courthouse yard.
Oh, now, listen.
We want five chaps to be in on this.
Ernie Pompell said that it was a fairy story about five sleeping beauties and some
of... Permit me to handle it, Roy.
My name is Dwight.
I know your name is Dwight.
Well, you call me Roy.
Oh, please, Roy. I mean, Dwight.
Well, that's fair.
Sadie, honey, Ernie Pompell, the newspaper reporter, told us there was a famous story for the children which told about the five sleeping beauties. Ernie thought it'd make a better article if there was five of us that wants to sleep in the courthouse yard.
Uh-huh.
Then he could refer to us in his piece as the five sleeping beauties and make a connection with that famous story, wouldn't you see?
Yeah.
I and Dwight thought Vic and Rush might be interested.
Ask them and see what they say.
Vic and Rush, honey? I
know.
I beg your pardon?
Not interested.
I understood you to say not interested.
Yeah.
I see. In that case, Dwight, let us proceed across the alley.
Okay.
What's across the alley?
We will undertake to recruit Miss Harris' father, Merman Sprawl.
What?
I'm sure, Sadie, honey, that you're familiar.
You'd ask Mr. Sprawl, over 90 years old, to sleep in the courthouse yard on the 23rd of November?
He gets too much pampering, that old fella. An elderly chap like Sprawl, he ought to expose himself to a few hard knocks and get toughened up before the nitwit women makes a milksop and a mollycoddle out of him. If I was an elderly gink like
Uncle
Sprawl...
Fletcher, have you gone out of your head or what?
Come on, Dwight.
Yeah, Fletcher, I'm ready.
Uncle Fletcher, you simply are not going to sleep outdoors tonight.
Sadie, honey, I am astonished.
Be astonished.
Mrs. Gook, my married daughter is dismal simply if I wrote me the other day that
she's... Mr. 26ler. You're not going to sleep outdoors tonight, either.
Well, my married daughter in Dismal Seepage, Ohio...
What would your married daughter in Dismal Seepage, Ohio, say if she knew her father planned on doing a silly, ridiculous, childish thing?
Well, I don't know
what she'd say. I bet I know what she'd say.
Yeah, I don't know what she'd say.
Come on, Dwight.
Okay.
Goodbye, lady. Goodbye. Goodbye, Vic and Rush, honey.
Bye, Uncle Fletcher.
Goodbye, Mrs. Gook.
Goodbye, Mr. 26er.
Goodbye, Mrs. Gook and Rush.
Goodbye.
Well, so much for that fine, elegant little piece of business.
There's not the slightest possibility that they will go sleep in the courtyard, is there?
Nah. Rush, hand me that section newspaper on the floor by your feet.
Thank you.
which concludes another brief visit at the small house halfway up in the next block.